How many can say amen to that? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad to be here? Well, why don't you turn around and tell somebody you're glad that they're here. Amen. I'm glad that you're here. Bless you. Bless you. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Through the cage. Sorry you're caged up. I hope you learned your lesson. Well, praise the Lord. You may be seated for just a moment. We are so excited to be together with each and every one of you, and we thank you for making the sacrifice to come and join us in celebrating 30 years. Just thinking about it, you know, you look back at pictures sometimes and you think, no way, I was never that young. I was 34 when the Lord put it on our heart to start this work, and we were spending a lot of time in the downtown Tucson preaching on the streets, and we rented a little 800-square-foot storefront that was really kind of bombed out, and we had to, it was quite an undertaking. There were so many layers of cigarette smoke and different things, and then just literally layers of carpet and tile and what have you that we had to strip through there. And so I remember us painting the inside of the building, and you know, I didn't know much about painting at the time, but immediately all of that bled through. And so we had to got a brother that was a painter to come and put some kills on it, you know, some primer, and we got through that. But at one end of the storefront was a place called, it was a bar, and it was called The Cat Dragged In, right? And if anybody's ever had a cat, you know, they'll leave you little offerings, and, you know, they think they're doing you a favor, you know. We had one cat that would just leave the feet of whatever it was that it caught, and another one, it was the insides, and leave it right there as an offering. And so that saying comes from, look at what the cat dragged in. It's not something pleasant, right? So there at one end, and it was frequented by, it was a rugby bar. And so the people that played rugby, they would play hard, and then they would drink hard. And one thing I admire about them is that whatever they did it with gusto. And, but, you know, there were occasions when some of them would stumble into the church service. And the amazing thing about it is that they were so respectful when they did. They didn't stick around, but they were very, very respectful. At the other end of the storefront was a junk store. And, you know, they'd whatever kind of junk you could imagine, they sold it. And I remember it was only a few months after we had moved into that building, there was just call it what it is. There were devil worshipers that moved in right next door to us, and they immediately painted their walls all black, and there was a pentagram on the inside of, and we were having some tremendous meetings. Just the Lord was just, oh my, it was, we weren't hurting at all. We didn't have much, but the Lord was with us. And they were feeling the pressure of it. And I remember one time, one of the girls that was in that place, it was before a service, and I was kind of getting things in order. You know, it was back in the days when I was the janitor, the deacon, the pastor, the treasurer, whatever. And anyway, this girl comes in, and it happened so fast, you know, these kind of things can happen so fast, you don't even really have time to think. But I was standing behind a chair, and she came and she grabbed a hold of my hand. And it seemed like she had a hold of my hand for, you know, 30 seconds or a minute, but it was probably like, you know, just 10 seconds or less. But she grabbed a hold of my hand, and then she let go, and she said, I just wanted to feel your power. And she took one of our songbooks out with her, and, you know, I don't know if she was going to put some hex on it, or I don't know. I don't know what they do. But we started feeling a little bit of an oppression in our worship. And at that time, I was working about 50 hours a week. And then, so Monday night, I just worked 9 hours. And then I came home, and I'd get to do a little bit of studying. Tuesday night, I'd go to work. Then I'd get off work, and I'd go out to the prison. We'd have a service. Wednesday night, I'd go to work, and we'd come home, and we'd have a service at our church. Thursday night, I'd go to work, come back, and go to the prison. Friday night, I'd go to work, and then I'd get off, and we'd have a prayer meeting on Friday night. And then Saturday night, we'd go downtown and preach on the street, and then Sunday, we had a doubleheader. And I'd lose my voice just about every week. And it was really the street preaching that was the biggest toll, because I didn't have anything to monitor. You know, you can't hear your own voice and what have you. But the Lord was really with us. And I look back now and I think, how in the world did I do that? You know, I just, you know, Ethan, who I'll introduce everybody here in a moment, but Ethan, he's 21 years old. My wife, we were up on top of the mountain, and he's just, you know, going here and there on the rocks. And my wife's like, wow, how do you do that? And you're in such good shape. And he says, well, I'm 21. And that has something to do with it, right? Well, I was 34. And the irony of it is that at that time, I felt like the devil was telling me I wasn't doing enough for the Lord. You know, that I was, and it's amazing. It's amazing what we let the devil get by with, right? I look back now and I think, how in the world did I do that? You know, just had to be the Lord. Well, we had a prayer meeting, and just sincerely praying through, asking the Lord to lift that oppression, and it did lift. And the next week, that group moved out, and we didn't see them for a couple of weeks until I was Saturday night. I was downtown preaching, and they were out there playing rock music somewhere, and I ran into them, and I said, you know, we noticed that you guys moved, and where'd you go? And they said, well, we just weren't comfortable in that building anymore. And I said, well, yeah, it's, you know, it's January, February, and there wasn't heating in the building at that time. And I said, so yeah, it's getting kind of cold. I understand. They said, no, that wasn't it. We just weren't comfortable there anymore. Yeah. And I look back, and it seems like forever ago, but that was 30 years ago, and that was kind of the beginning of things for us. And now here we are, and you're celebrating 30 years with us. And we appreciate you coming and making this special for us. Happy Leap Day. It's kind of a strange day, February 29th. Last night I missed, we had visiting ministers, and I missed introducing them. But in my own defense, we asked for the husbands and wives, the ministers, to sit up front, and the wives didn't come up, so I didn't see them. And well, anyway, I messed up. I felt really bad, right? But I'll get over it. But brother Leon and sister Tracy Van Ard have come from North Carolina, and we are just so thankful to have them with us. Amen. And I'm sorry, but what is the name of your church? Manifested Life. Manifested Life. So write that down, Sister Baker. And then Brother Emmanuel and Sister Shannon Salazar are with us from Word of Life Tabernacle. Is that right? Fellowship. Word of Life Fellowship. Española, New Mexico. So we're just tickled to have them with us as well. And And of course, Brother Chris and Sister Joanna Long from Life Tabernacle, Cottonwood, Arizona. We sure do appreciate our brother Chris kicking things off for us last night. You know, just sometimes there's a lot of ice that needs to be broke, but it got broke up quick, didn't it? Yeah, we were having church. Yeah, cloud of witnesses. I'm just reminded about, you know, we do believe the sign.
That's right.
Right? And because we believe the sign, it led us to the voice.
Right?
And you can come along 30 years later and say the sign is no good, but I'm listening to the voice.
Yeah.
We certainly did appreciate that labor of love last night. Brother Freddie and Sister Esther Hatfield from Tabernacle of the Lord, Phoenix, Arizona. Nice to have you with us. Brother Ed and Sister Sandy and their son Ethan Hammermeister, End Time Message Tabernacle, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Amen.
All right. So they joined the snowbirds that have come down to be with us. And what was the temperature back home?
It's not worth
it. Brother Andrew and Sister Bernie, Boy Scout from the Uttermost Tabernacle in Chivac, Arizona. So has the sun come up there yet, or is it still dark? Oh, it's starting to come up over the horizon a little bit? Yeah. So when you're complaining about it's cold and whatever, just remember, they live in igloos. Brother Andrew was telling me a story one time. Somebody asked him straight up, you know, he's got a real good sense of humor, but somebody asked him straight up, do you guys live in igloos? And he's like, yeah, of course. Mine's a two-story. And, of course, they've James and Eva have joined them, and I know you've got some folks from your church that have come along. And Mark and Sister Mindy Osborne and their son Luke is with us. Amen. Nice to have you. And I know it's going to look like I've got a problem with North Carolina, but I don't remember the name of your church either.
It's Life Tabernacle.
Life Tabernacle. That should be easy to remember, right? Got that, Sister Baker? Yeah. They used to say, well, they say two minds are better than one, right? Well, as you get older, you find out two minds equal one. We share brain cells, you know. God bless you, Brother Leo, Sister Irene. God bless you. And I'm just tickled pink to see Brother Greg and Sister Hannah Baker. If you were at their wedding, the most embarrassing service I've ever had, when I pronounced them man and wife, it was, I announced them, see, they're my kids. Right? We announced them as bakers. Fortunately, they had a good sense of humor and didn't hold it against me, but anyway, it's really nice to have you with us tonight. Amen. And anybody else that's visiting with us tonight, it's nice to have you with us. God bless you. It's nice to have you with us. Let's stand tonight. So we are excited to have our brother Emmanuel Salazar with us tonight, and looking forward to what the Lord has put on his heart. I mean, he believes that God still speaks, that he's alive, that he wants to prove himself to you. We are a privileged people.
That's right.
We are a blessed people.
Yes, sir.
And I hope we never get over that. I don't see how we could, but
right.
I hope we never forget what a blessed people that we are. What a mighty God that we serve.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So he counts the stars as our brother Salazar comes to bring the word tonight. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Amen. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move. Every tear that I cry, He knows my name. I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Hallelujah. Where's our sister? The one that plays the piano? Yeah, she's not here today? I just looked, I said, we're missing our sister. Oh, okay. God bless her. I just want the musicians to know I appreciate them. Even if they got this one locked up in a cage. Yesterday I seen our brother locked in there. I said, wow, what did he do wrong? I said, so, wow. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You may be seated just for a short moment. These are special meetings, so we're not in a hurry, are we? Amen. Honor bring greetings from the church in Española, New Mexico. All the people just want to send their love. They appreciate you and love you guys, and I just said I'd say hello for you all. Amen. I want to thank Brother Doug and our sister Jennifer. They're always treating us so good, so wonderful. And our brother Chris did say they gave us a gift bag that was quite wonderful. Amen. Me and my wife were looking through it like little kids. So, oh my gosh, this, you can have this one and I'll have this one. So she left today while I stayed in the room and studied, so I had her portion too. So. But we want to just thank you. We started already scrambling, Sister Jennifer, for our meetings, what we're going to do. So you put the pressure on us already. So we just hope we can at least match up. Amen. On our way over here, we were heading through Lordsburg, and we called Brother Alex. I wanted to see how Sister Naomi was doing. I know that she's been in the hospital for about 3.5 weeks, maybe almost 4 weeks. And we were there in the hospital with my son in December for almost all the way until I think it was Christmas Eve we stayed there. So we know just the heartache and just being there, the pressure there. And so, you know, we just want to keep our sister in prayer. So if you just want to say a little prayer for her whenever, just our sister Naomi, just she's a wonderful sister. I pray that the Lord will strengthen her and pull her out of it and bless her and just be with her. Amen. And that being said, too, I got a text from my brothers and sisters. They said that my dad is going to be going through surgery here in a couple weeks.
And so if you want to just keep Brother Leo in prayer too, you'll be able to talk to him. I believe he's going to be here coming tomorrow. So just say a little prayer for him also. So this evening, Brother Chris had said, you know, he was a pastor, so he was preaching a pastor's message, but I brought my evangelistic shoes. So I don't know what to do. But I brought another pair for later on in the week, so maybe I'll be a I'll go put my pastor's shoes back on later on. But it's nice to get out and just to be able to evangelize just a little bit and, you know, stir it up just a little bit. And, you know, just if there's any oppression, like our brother was saying, just, you know what, just go ahead and just stretch it off. Get it off of you. Go ahead. Don't, it feels good. Just stretch it off of you. We have to start with class participation. Everybody stretch it off of you. See how easy it is? You can say amen. Someone say hallelujah. Someone say praise God. We can't just always talk about worship and talk about it and talk about it and say, oh, we're going to worship, we're going to worship. We going to worship or we're not going to worship? Amen. Brother Chris preached on a cloud of witnesses and wonderful preaching. Wonderful. I you know, took notes and, you know, you could just preach on that for till the rapture comes. So we just appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you starting off these meetings. God bless him. So I guess I'm privileged tonight to come out and to just to look out at those that have been laying in the presence of the sun and looking at all the fruits that are budding. Anybody have any fruits that's budding? Have you been laying in the presence of the sun? So then you should be showing some fruit. So we want to just be a little bit of fruit producers tonight. Amen. Just had met our brother Hammermeister again. I thought I had met him in Israel, but I'm not sure where I've seen him. I might have been in North Carolina. I met him somewhere, and if the hammer's here, it's going to be good. So we appreciate that. And, of course, all the ministers here get to look out. Our brother Osborne from North Carolina, we've seen him. We've met him many times out there. We always seen him with George Smith. And so it's different to see him with somebody different now. But we appreciate you, brother. God bless you. Brother Freddie, always known him all since the Sholos days. And so God bless him and his wife. We appreciate that song service too. And our brother Leon too. I'd met him before in North Carolina. So I guess we're just having kind of a little meeting here. So it's good that the pressure is starting to come off. Can you feel? So I'm kind of internally, I'm stretching. You don't see it, but I'm stretching it off. And so because I'll be no good to you if I'm just so tense. And I just want to let go and let the Lord take control and just let that spirit come and let him take control. Amen. And so it's just a blessing to be able to see. You know, many people have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears and they can't hear. But we're a blessed people tonight because we have eyes to see. We have ears to hear the word, amen, and we can amen it, and we can praise God, and we can worship him, and we don't just have to talk about worship him, and I hope you just didn't come to just see somebody or see something. We need each and every one of you to enter into this worship. Church, if we want to get out of here, we need to get in one accord. And you know, when you start searching on eternal life, we find out eternal life is living for one another. And so I'm asking you tonight, just bring your lick of fire. Bring it. If you're one of those people that says, oh man, I'm just going to sit there. God, just stop tonight. Let tonight be different. Let's start moving forward and just praising God and not just saying we're going to do it. Let's not just sing, like, oh, we're going to worship God. Let's worship God together. I hope tonight we can say something to encourage you. I promise Brother Jude, I'll do my best to really keep this microphone right here. So just pray for me. Yeah. I'll do my best to that. Brother Branham, in the Church Age book, he said in the message of the Revelation, when he's dealing with the title, The Revelation of Jesus Christ, he said these words. He said, the times of the Gentiles is over. Just before, I was in the hotel, Brother Oscar, I was starting to look at it, and I was going to say, the times of the Gentiles is just about over, right? And then I said, but if I would say that, I wouldn't be quoting it right. But notice what he said. He said, and you could look it up on your own. He said, the times of the Gentiles is over and God is turning back to Israel. And so we have an understanding of how blessed that we are, because we find out that, if the Jews hadn't been blinded, where would we be? Where would we be? And so I praise God when I realize that. Let me tell you, that's why you have eyes to see and ears to hear. The gospel was given to you. They had an opportunity. Come on, church. They had an opportunity, but we find out they were blinded for our sake. Somebody say, my sake. And for me. And so I'm grateful for that. I pray for Israel. I look and I say, God bless them, help them, whatever that they have need of. And it was a blessing. I've been able to be out there a few times and to witness and to see it for myself. And every time I did, I came home and said, well, we live in one of the greatest countries on this earth. I'm glad that God placed me here where I'm at, but I'm going to pray for Israel. And so we look, and Brother Brandon made another statement that I want to read to you tonight just before we get started. He said, the scene, he said, of Joseph and his brethren is about to be repeated.
Oh, yes.
So we have scripture for what we're preaching.
Amen.
This scene of Joseph and his brethren is about to be repeated. How many believe that?
Amen.
And so when we think about it, if they were blinded, it wasn't that God had took Adam like he did Adam and took the Jews and laid them down and did surgery on their eyes and then brought them up again, brother, and that then they couldn't see. That's not the way that they were blinded. But we find that God, Jesus Christ, had came in such simplicity. He came in such a simple way that they didn't expect it, that they were blinded to it. And I'm going to tell you here today, that scene is repeating again today. God has come and he's here in such a way through a message of the hour, and people are fighting and fussing and arguing over it because it's so simple. Church, it's not difficult. This message, excuse the term, Brother Doug, is not rocket science. He spoke to the common people and they all understood. And for that I say, hallelujah, I can understand. I'm just a common man. If it was so difficult, I wouldn't be able to understand it. And so we were raised just a Catholic boy. So we were raised, and when you talk about a dead and cold and formal church, I know what it's like. We've been there. Cold. Dead. Completely formal. And you're asking me tonight, Brother Manu, don't drag any of that doctrinal stuff into the message. And for that, I say amen. Don't bring your Baptist stuff into this. Don't bring your Methodist stuff into this. Because you're asking me, don't bring that cold formal religion here tonight, brother. So I get a little excited.
Come on.
I get happy. Some people say, oh, well, Brother Man, you know, we're not supposed to be happy all the time. I said, but I'm going to be happy. Why would I be sad? It doesn't even make sense. Unless you're trying to act like something you're not. So I can just be me tonight. So that's just the way that it is. So it's a simple message. If somebody's trying to tell you it's difficult, they're not telling you the truth. So all of us can open it up and read it and get into it and dive in there. See, that's the problem. We're just letting all the ministers do it. And then we show up and we're saying, you know, okay, preach me happy, brother. Oh, well, preach me happy. Oh, Brother Man, he's going to preach me happy. Well, don't steal all of my happiness. Hand some of yours off tonight. To your brother, to your sister, to your pastor. Can you give Brother Doug some happiness tonight? Hey, Brother Chris said, you know, it's not easy being a pastor. I think it's even harder being a pastor's wife. Class participation. You ladies should say amen. You don't know. We secretly, and we don't even know it, put pressure on the pastor's wife. You need to pray for the pastor's wife. Sister Jennifer, you know, she's kind of like me. We're always like, hee, hee. But, you know, inside we're like, phew. It's like that boy that's walking through the graveyard, right? He's there whistling and he's scared. And sometimes you always see somebody who's jokey and happy, you know, you don't know what they're going through. Right? Sister Esther, Sister Joanna, is it easy? Being a pastor's wife, sis, is it easy? Because if they can't get to the pastor, they try to get through you. And those are demons. I'm not talking about you guys yet. So we ought to keep the pastor and his wife in prayer. They're wonderful and you need him. It's part of the fivefold ministry. All right. Let's stand for the reading of the word. How many love the Lord this evening?
Amen.
Amen. You know, he knows your heart. So we want to turn to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Sometimes I didn't realize it's up on the board. I've been waiting for you to put your head down and read out of the Bible. I'm still old school. I have, Brother Osborne, I was telling Brother Doug, I still have jewel notes. That's what they are. I look at him and say, hey, I have notes like Jewel has. That shows you about the age that I'm in. Amos chapter 8, we're going to read one verse there, and then we're going to turn to the book of Genesis. And the Bible says in verse 11, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. How many believe that when you walk out of this building, that's exactly what's taking place? There's a famine out there.
That's right.
And so we could say amen to that. Let's turn now to Genesis. We want to turn to Genesis 41. Mm-hmm. When you're there, you could just say amen.
Amen.
Appreciate my family at home, my sister watching my son while we could come out here. Yeah. Sister Burr, she's just a major blessing. Yeah. Of course, all my family have been so good to us. For my brother Reuben's sake, I'll give you the title of the service tonight is They Cried Before Him.
Yeah.
They Cried Before Him. Genesis chapter 41, and we're going to read verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over some of the land. Read that again. See, I have set thee over part of the land.
No,
Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him. What did they cry? What was their cry? Anybody? What was that? So there was people crying before him, saying what? This side now. Bow what? Bow the knee. Hallelujah. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Let's bow our heads. All precious. Heavenly Father, Lord God, this evening, humbly, Father, we come before you, Lord God. Grateful, Lord God, for thy tender mercies, Lord God, and thy grace, Father. Lord, we cry out in this age, grace, grace. Oh, what amazing grace, Lord God, that you've bestowed upon us, Father. Lord, truly are we a blessed people, Father. Lord, we've said, Lord God, you've heard our testimonies, Lord God, this evening that, Heavenly Father, that we came and we're going to praise you, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray this evening, Lord God, that we could just worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. Lord, grateful, Lord God, for all that you have done, Father. We so appreciate it in this hour, Father. So many coming against, Father. But Lord, you're always with us, Father. Lord, for you said you'd never leave us or forsake us, Father. And your word is always true. And Lord, for that, we can say hallelujah, Father. Amen. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Father. And we thank you, Lord God. This evening, Lord, this church, this people, Father, Lord, they've extended, Lord God. Oh, their best for us, Lord God. And Lord, for that, Lord, we thank them, Lord God. Always wonderful, just blessed people here, Father. Lord, so grateful, Lord God, for the lighthouse that's in Tucson, Father. Lord, I pray a blessing on this pastor, Lord God. It's not easy, Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd encourage him and strengthen him, Father, right here tonight, Father. Lord God, I pray like you'd strengthen the pastor's wife, Father. Lord God, be with her, Father, Lord God. Help her, Lord God. Restore unto her, Father. Restore unto these pastor's wives, all of them, Lord, tonight. Father, the zeal and the joy, Lord God, that they have for you, Lord God. If anybody's come against them, Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would take care of that for them, Lord God. Lord, be with them. Bless the musicians, Lord God. They're such a blessing, Father. Just so wonderful, Lord. The deacon here, Father, the deacons, Father. Bless them, Lord. They're wonderful. We love them, Lord God. All that are here. Dear Lord, I pray now, Lord God, that Father, as I just step aside, Father, that you would just come, Lord, and speak to your people. I pray the Holy Spirit would come, brood over us tonight, Father, that it would be you speaking, Father, that you be your thoughts, Lord God. Father, we surrender everything that we are. I pray not only me, but the hearer tonight, Lord. We heard it, Father. Many had to work today. Many were out just rubbing shoulders with the world. I pray, Lord, that they could forget all that and worship you tonight, Lord. Be with them, Lord God. Just be with this simple thought tonight, Father. I pray that you just take over, Lord. Bless your people, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. And the bride says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated this evening. Hallelujah. I want to begin this evening. I want to just read something to you. I didn't have them put it up on the board, but just that you would just pay attention. I'm sure many of you have heard this before, but it means so much to me. I'd just like to read it to you tonight. It starts off saying, so a tent or a cottage, why should I care? I live in a mobile home. People say, why, brother, you live in a trailer? I said, yeah, I live in a trailer, and I love it.
Amen.
Amen.
We made it into our trailer. We fixed it up. But what do you do when God gives you something? We were given that trailer. And I say tonight, so a tent or a cottage, why should I care? We're not interested in those things. They're building a palace for me over there. I'm not worried about here. Right now, it's in a process. There's a palace being built of rubies and diamonds and silver and gold. Listen now, his coffers are full. Why do you worry? My Father's coffers are full. Why do we cry? We've been told we have a checkbook. And yet we say, we're so needy, brother. We're so needy. We'll use the checkbook. You say, oh, brother, checkbooks are old. We zowl. Notice he says his riches untold. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know, in the message, Brother Brown has parentheses there, and it says, nothing I done.
Right. Amen.
It's amazing grace. It's nothing I done. It's nothing I could do. It's nothing that I'm going to do. It's amazing grace. It was grace that taught my heart to what? To what? To fear. It was grace my fears relieved. You know when you're riding a horse and you can feel he's all tense, and then you just get him just a little bit and just He goes, and then you jump off real quick and tighten that cinch. Just in case. You never know what scares that horse. Notice the song goes, how precious did that grace appear? The hour. Someone say the hour. The hour I first believed.
Before
And they would cry out, bow the knee!
Right.
Yeah. Do you think they said, bow the knee?
Oh.
Well, can you bow?
No.
No, they said, bow the knee!
Amen.
Could you imagine if you didn't bow? Oh, we're such a spoiled people. Let me tell you, everybody bowed the knee. And there were many that were grateful for Joseph. Many cried out and said, thank you for the air. Thank you for the food. Thank you for the water, Joseph. The whole world would have died without you. And they were grateful people. Hey, is there grateful people here tonight? What are you grateful for? Everything! Everything! For without it, we would have nothing! Who are the callers today? It's Brother Doug! Every Wednesday and Sunday, he's calling out! Bow your heart! Bow your heart! And you say, why? Joseph is coming! And then Joseph comes because it says where two or three are gathered. Where? In his name. He'll be there. And when he shows up, what do you do? Oh, brother, in his presence, I get so relaxed. I just... It's so tender. Could you imagine you tell the caller in those days, oh, you know, I'm a little tired today. Bow the knee. Don't worry. I'm not saying we don't bow by force. But there's a revelation that without him, we have nothing. We have nothing. And there were grateful people. They were bowing because they were grateful. Not only because they were being told to. And there's grateful people here tonight when the pastor says, hey, everybody raise their hand. And someone would say, oh, I'm not going to raise my hand. Why not? Joseph's here. You said he's here. You said he's here. And the callers. Last night we had a caller. His name was Chris Long. And he came behind her and he said, you are the message too.
That's right.
Yeah. Look, I have a picture of you. And then I took and I said, well, I was there, but I was in him even before then. Way back, brother, way back. Into eternity. I saw myself, and you know what I saw in that great big circle? A smiley face.
That's right.
And that was me.
Amen.
Grateful he pulled me out of that dead, formal, cold Catholic church.
Amen.
Callers calling. And you know, some people, oh, here comes those callers again. Right, Brother Leon? They said, oh, here comes Leon again. He's going to get on us for this and get on us for that. Oh, Brother Fred, he's going to preach on this today.
Yeah.
Whatever we need, right?
Amen.
That's what he's providing.
Amen.
Brother Mark, that's what he's providing. And people say, well, Brother Mark, he surely needs to get Job off the ash heap. But that's what they have need of.
Amen.
The callers. Praise God for preachers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Brother Manuel, these preachers, sometimes they don't listen. Yeah, do you listen all the time? Well, we're not talking about me. We're talking about the preachers. I walk in and Brother Joseph says, oh, Brother Doug wants you to sit in a specific place. I'm like, what?
Who's going to tell me where to sit? Okay. I thought Joseph was my friend. He's going to let one by. Jeez. Where are all these preachers?
Scattered.
Yeah. I went to the restaurant afterward. I said, where were you ladies? And then I was thinking to myself, am I the only one who listens? Was I supposed to not listen and just sit wherever I want? Preachers are human beings too.
That's right.
If we want grace for us and our family,
why not the preacher?
Right, Sister Lindsay? Why not the preachers too? Because they're the callers calling out. All the time, Brother Andy, all the time. Calling out, Brother Eli, all the time. Great brothers, they come to our church when I'm gone. Drive 8 hours to cover for us. God bless him. We need preachers. Don't let nobody come and tell you a lie, because we can find it in Ephesians. Hello, somebody. It's for the perfecting of the bride. Whether you like the style or you don't like the style. Woo! I want to redo the introduction again. I love that, church. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. Here comes our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave him in the corner. You invited him. Worship him. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for my church. Thank you for a song leader. Thank you for musicians. You don't realize how blessed you are. It's true, Brother Gary. You're blessed. This church is blessed beyond measure. Blessed. How can we down it? How can we try to bring anything down? Give it everything. Food. Water. In a famine. Could you imagine in that day? Had they not gone to get grain from Egypt? You would have found, they would have looked, and their little kids would start disappearing right before their very eyes. Shrinking down and shriveling. Lack of food and lack of water. Yes, people are so busy. Our brother talked about it last night on social media, that they're looking. The kids are shriveling up.
That's right.
It's a hard balance, church.
Yes, it is.
And we thought that was rough enough, but we didn't realize our own friends, our own family, our own loved ones. Who said they were? Who said they were grateful to Joseph? We're not grateful.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Underneath, they had tones of, well, you know, I don't really like Joseph. The only reason that they're bowing to him is because he came and he's spiritual. But he's not even an Egyptian. He's not even one of us. Church, the Egyptians had to bow too. Hello! And they were bowing ungratefully. And they would bow and say, oh, bow the knee, but I don't like it.
Come on.
Let that not be us.
That's right.
I'm going to come to service today, but let's not like it. I don't like the lineup. So I'm not going to move a shoulder. I'm mad.
That's right.
I'm just here because I have to be. You know, we hadn't had special meetings for years, Brother Doug.
Yeah.
And the people said, Brother Man, why did you have special meetings? And the next year, you have meetings. Where's the meetings? And I was waiting.
Yeah.
I was waiting. I was waiting for the people to want it.
Come on.
They're just Brother Manuel's meetings. He takes all the glory. Gets up before every minister and just says a few words and takes it all our hard work. Just goes unseen, unnoticed. Hello!
Yeah, come on, brother.
Church, we have meetings too. We know how it rolls.
Yeah.
But are you here because you want to be tonight?
Yeah.
Are you here to praise our Lord tonight? Is that why you're here tonight? No, I'm just waiting for you to make an error, brother. I'm just waiting for a mistake. Well, let me throw out a few of those right away. Get them out in the open.
Come on.
But let me tell you, he's here. And if he's here, I'm not going to let him go with dirty feet. You say, Brother Matt, is that why you're growing a beard? You can't have enough hair to wash his feet? I don't know why. I got tired of shaving.
All right.
Broke my leg in June and just kind of said, well, I'm kind of done with everything. I'm just going to sit here. And not only did I have Jules' notes, but I had his wowsy me. I broke my leg. I can't even get on it for 3 months. The whole world's going to go down, brother. Before that, the schedule's so full. I can't miss. I can't do this. Everything has to be done. You break your leg and say, whoa. You mean everything's still going smooth without me? You mean they're still having service? Without me?
No, bro.
Yeah. It goes on.
Yeah.
God's not a respecter of men.
Right.
And if you think it can't continue, come on, church. The rocks will cry out. I'm so important, Brother Doug. I'm so important. I'm such an important man. Lord, I didn't know when Joseph would come and he was going to give me a little scolding today. It is a house of correction, right? Not just for you. And so they cried out. The callers cried out. Joseph is coming. And Brother Bram said, it didn't matter what you were doing at that very moment. You could have been an actor. And in the middle of the act, you had to stop. When that trumpet blows and the callers are calling, you had to stop whatever you were doing.
Yes.
But not today.
Come on.
They say, oh, I still have work.
Yeah. There you go.
I work, brother. If I don't work, you don't get tithes. Because I pay you. You pay me?
You're a pastor now.
I'm ready. Because if I check the books. Well, isn't it the ones that make the most roll it over into something else? You never see it. Whoa, I don't even know where that's coming from. Well, I didn't have to pay on that. I just rolled it over because I already had that vehicle paid off. So I bought a new and rolled it over. So you say, okay, if you go with that, then when do you want the blessing?
Right.
Right? You still want the frogs with you? tomorrow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say glory.
Glory.
If you needed it, say it. Bring it, Lord. I need that. It didn't matter if you were going to pay somebody. You stopped what you were doing. Whatever it was, you stopped and you bowed the knee.
Yeah.
Our brother said it last night. We need to put him first.
Yeah. That's right.
The callers are telling you he's here.
Yeah.
Put him first.
Yeah.
And watch the blessings in your life.
Yeah. Yes, sir. That's right.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I hope you still love me.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
There were those that appreciated Joseph.
That's right.
Right, man.
Yeah.
Because he saved the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
At that time, he did.
But yet, and we struggle with it today.
Wow.
Say, why don't they just worship him?
Come on.
Our Jesus has... Come on, church.
Yes.
But underneath, I'll just tell you... Notice, Brother Branham goes on to say, the life of Joseph while he was in Egypt, for it is here we see him as a perfect type of Christ.
Perfect. Yes. Nothing against it, right?
Perfect?
Perfect? Yes.
Well, see, we all say perfect, right? But those that discount the scripture, I found one mark against him.
Yeah.
I found a mark. He went, his daddy came and he told Pharaoh, well, he said, Pharaoh, here's my dad, but dad, don't tell him what you really do.
Yeah.
We said he was a perfect type.
Right.
Amen.
But yet there was one to come.
Right.
That was the perfect one. And the perfect one is here tonight. And there's not a mark. There's not a blemish. There's nothing against him.
Yes, sir.
Notice he said, oh, he said, for it is here we see him as a perfect type of Christ. Well, he... In the house of the general. Who? Potiphar.
That's right.
He was falsely accused.
Yes.
Come on, church.
Come on.
Was Joseph falsely accused?
Yes, sir.
Joseph was falsely accused and Joseph was punished.
Right.
Joseph got punished for doing the right thing.
Right.
And we sit here and say, oh, I can't believe it. I'm doing the right thing and I feel like I'm being punished all the time.
Come on.
Punish, punish, punish. Everything I do. One step forward and two steps back. Punish, punish, punish. He was falsely accused and he was punished like our Christ was.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
And we also realize he was imprisoned.
That's right.
Our brother Doug was talking about going to a prison and preaching. And I got to thinking, I said, my goodness, I said, I still have one of my best friends from high school. He's been in prison this whole time.
Wow.
wonder what he's thinking. Every time I call him, he's still back in the 10th grade. Oh, he tells me, oh, you remember this one? Oh, what we did. I said, brother, that's 30-some years ago. Hey, we've had a message that keeps moving forward. And you know, you get that old phone call. And you have to explain that God sent a prophet. We say, well, we argued that 30 years ago. Never moved forward. I'm thinking, I'm not going to argue over that. I'm not going to stop and start preaching that again. We've already preached that. Now, what did that prophet say? No, but there's always that voice that calls you back, trying to call you back. It's just like school was. Remember in elementary, you finally graduated, Brother Hammer, to the big, what is it, playground. Say, so, man, I got out of third grade and I'm going to the big playground. And you cross the little bridge that you couldn't cross before because the teacher would be there and said, you can't cross, you're not old enough. But you made it to the big playground. And it was there over here is just the monkey bars are really far from the swings and there's a lot of room in between. And now you find out there's a lot more clicking and clanning.
Come on.
And it was kind of easy if you had relatives or cousins that were in the older grade.
Oh, yeah.
Because, let him come, you know, that's my little cuz. And you'd be in there, you know, hanging with the sixth graders. Little fourth grader. And then you'd see that one of them would get disgruntled. You'd be watching the little clan and there'd be one disgruntled one. And at that time, these little trucks with one single battery were big. I don't even remember what they were called.
Stompers.
Yeah, little stompers. You'd put a double A in there and turn it on. And you know, that one would get disgruntled, Brother Doug, with the rest of the group. And you know, he didn't quite believe like they did. And then he would kind of come over here by himself, and he'd be looking at his little stomper, and he'd kind of see if you were looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Check it out. And there'd be some that would be.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, my dad brought me this little stomper. Check it out. It's right in here. It's right here. Look at it. And then he said, well, let's play with it. Now he drew somebody else out.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah. Let's play with this. Nice. Look at it. And if it was you that had God drawn, all you go over there and say, well, that's nice. But it doesn't even have a battery.
Come on.
So he drew him over there and there's nothing. There's no power to it. Hey, did you bring a battery? Did you bring a battery? It needs a battery. It's a really nice little stomper, but it needs a battery. That's how it is today. I still get these videos sent to me. Look how good it is over here. Oh, it's good over there? We're free. I said, but I'm free.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, too late. Brother Manning, can you bring your battery? We're dying over here.
Yeah, come on.
Right. Yeah. But all you have to do is repent.
That's it. There you go. Yeah. There you go. Right.
We don't have to have a big meeting on any kind of thing. Right. You just go over there and say, Peter said it on the day of Pentecost, repent! Yeah. But there's too much pride! Yeah. And I get sent these videos and it says, oh, look now, look at this great man. Watch this video. He's a great man, a great man. Hey, church, we're not looking for other great men. I'm not looking for another prophet. I'm not looking for a circus act. I'm not looking for the ringling juggling. We have the pure word. But it's not, oh, look at this great guy. Look what he's doing. Look at all what he's saying about Israel. That's why I said, oh, for the lack of it, I'll look at it. And I'll be like,
what? Yeah.
That's 1950 yeah. News.
Right. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I said, the Sunday school knows all of that.
Right.
But no, they said, he's a dreamer. Look at him now. They got to point you somewhere, church.
That's right.
When you already have the goods. So when you get these calls and you get these videos and you get these voices, you tell them, I already got the perfect word. Do we have a couple more hours?
Come on.
We're not even off the first page.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the
Lord. You always say that. Some say, burr. And others say, whoa. We had a sister in our church, Brother Doug. If I'd preached underneath an hour, she'd come up to her after. I love that, brother, man. I love that, but you gypped us.
Whoa.
I gypped you.
Gyp.
You gypped.
Yeah.
What do you mean I gypped you? You cut it short.
Yeah.
Just right when it was getting good.
Whoa. Come on now.
I said, oh, it was getting, it wasn't good, but it was going to get good. Notice the prophet God said, he's talking about Joseph in prison.
Right.
And I left off thinking, my friend, he's still there and he's still back in the day.
Yeah.
And then I get off the phone after he asked me, send me this, send me wow. this, send me this, send me this.
Right.
And I do.
Yeah.
I say, oh, you need underwear. Man needs all his stuff, right? Where were you?
Right.
And so I preached to him and he has to deal with the preaching.
You want it.
You want it. You got to deal with it all, right?
Good.
But what was Joseph thinking?
Yeah.
Here he was falsely accused.
Yeah.
Punished and he's in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Who here's over 50? Think about it. You can't go to prison. You know, they'd say, oh, one of these days you preachers are going to go to, you know, you're going to say something over the internet and they're going to put you in jail. And when I was 30 years old, I was like, put me in there. I have buddies in there. But my buddies now tell me, he says, brother, I'm 52. I got to get out of here. These youngsters are crazy. There's no respect. Is he preaching or am I preaching?
Yeah,
respect on. Where? In the prison? There's no respect. When there's no respect in the prisons, you know it's bad. They used to have a code of respect. Now they don't have it. He says, the youngsters are crazy. They're off the chain. They do whatever they want. Could you imagine you being 50 years old getting in there? Oh my goodness, I'm going to get destroyed. But Joseph was in there thinking, he said, I didn't do nothing.
Right. True.
I did nothing. I only did what was good.
Come on.
I did the right thing and look at me now. And his mind, he kept thinking and he kept thinking. But then something happened. He remembered that he had a vision.
Right.
it started to come. He said, wait a minute. I got a vision here. I had a vision and God sent me that vision. And every time God has sent me, it comes to pass. But he said, but I'm here in prison. I'm snuck here. And his mind would keep thinking and thinking.
Yes, sir.
How am I going to get out? Because he knew he wouldn't get out. What did the vision say? It had seen one day. He seen his brethren would be bowing down to him. And maybe you're locked in a prison in your mind. Maybe health has you bound up. Maybe mental anguish. Maybe you hear voices and they're telling you negative thoughts all the time. Come on, church. We deal with mental issues all the time. There's voices out there. They're telling the people, you're no good. You're never going to make it. Look at your past. And people are like, rawr! Oh, my goodness. He'll never forgive me. The devil said, no, he won't. He'll never forgive you. Look at what you've done. But then something happens to a son or a daughter of God. They remember they have a vision. Because we know without a vision the people will perish. And we come back and say, wait a minute, we had a prophet of God and he said we're going to get out of this prison. He said, I don't have to stay here. Devils of cancer, you got to leave. Mental depression, you got to get out of here. But don't lose the vision. That's if he could just get you to lose the vision for just a little longer. Brother, if he could just get you to come against the people and stop loving him just a little bit, just enough time so he could creep in there and infiltrate and said, well, you've never been worthy. You've never been no good. You never no help. You're never nothing. And you say, yeah, this is all true. But nevertheless, praise God for mercy. Bow my heart to Joseph. He's not telling us lies.
No, sir.
He's telling you truths. But that trumpet today blew 5 times.
Come on.
Amazing. Our Jesus Christ is here. But Joseph was in prison. He was thinking, how am I going to get out of here? What's going to take place? Notice Brother Bam went on to say, but all the time he said in that prison, he said he could remember that vision. And just as the brother was talking, that vision had a voice. That vision had a voice.
Yes, sir.
Notice, he said, and the vision said that he was going to be set on a throne.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
And his brothers were going to bow to him.
That's exactly right.
And he knew something.
Yeah.
He knew this gift that he had wasn't manifest on his own.
Nope.
He knew that it came from God.
Yes.
What about your gift?
Right.
What about when you're in that prison of depression? Get the curtains and you close them. I don't want to see no light today. What about that prison of the old church that you used to come from?
Come on, preach it.
Come on, church.
Yeah.
Those voices calling you. You're never going to make it. You're left. You're out of the blood.
Come on.
I said, well, you know, wow. Oh, Satan, you're a liar. I'm not losing the vision. He said, we're going to take a rapture. Oh, I can make it through one more day. Oh, I'm seeing a vision of a rapture. What is it? It's bursting out on my side. It doesn't matter about my daily routine. It doesn't matter what's happening here. It doesn't matter at work anymore. Because I caught the vision. Not only am I going to make the rapture, I am the rapture. I am that rapture. And it cannot happen without me. So I'm calling to you today. Bow your hearts. Bow your soul. Bow your mind. Bow your everything to Jesus Christ. Because that's what this message is.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We're getting late.
Come on.
We have a few more minutes, brother. Notice he said his brothers was going to bow to him, and he knew that he had a gift come from God.
That's right.
How many has the Holy Ghost
Thank
tonight?
You, Lord. What a gift.
How many has the Holy Ghost
Can't
tonight?
Fail. Can't fail.
You ought to be the happiest people That's in the world. Right. When anything comes against you. But I got the Holy Ghost. I live in a trailer. But I got the Holy Ghost. I drive a Nissan. But I got the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Brother.
Come on.
I better save that one. But notice, he knew it had to come to pass. What? The vision.
That's right.
Amen. Notice Brother Bam goes on to say, he said, in his prison. Wait, in his prison?
His prison.
In his prison? He didn't say in prison.
He owned it.
He said in his prison. Notice he said, and he constantly remembered.
Yeah.
He was born for a purpose.
Yeah.
Amen. What prison are you in tonight?
Yes.
Whatever it is, come on, church, whatever it is. Maybe you have a prison of trauma. Oh, a past trauma, brother, it comes and it brings anxiety, whether you're in that prison or not. You were born for a purpose.
Yes. That's right.
Maybe you're in a prison of addiction.
Come on.
Oh, brother, people aren't addicted in the main. People are addicted to pills. They're addicted to drugs. Come on, church. Maybe you are today. Maybe you're hiding it. Maybe your wife is covering up for you. Cover, cover, cover. Cover, cover. Cover it up. Cover it up. He only needs it when he's hurting.
Come on, brother.
But brother, I'm hurting all the time. What about the vision? Brother, I'm in pain and anguish all the time. What about the Holy Ghost? You've got to remember the gift that God has given you.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Notice, he remembered he was going to sit by a king and all the rest was going to bow to him. The vision told him so. Notice, but before his vision could be completely fulfilled,
come on.
He had to become a prisoner. Maybe you're waiting for something in your life to be fulfilled. Maybe, brother, you're an older gentleman, brother, but maybe God hasn't taken you off the scene. There's still work for you.
Amen.
There's still something for you to do.
Yes, sir.
Because when God's done with you, he'll
That's
take
right.
you home. So if you're still here, there's something for you to do. Oh, brother, I've done the best. Keep moving.
Yes.
Keep pressing on.
Amen.
The vision could not be fulfilled until he had gone to prison. You say, Brother Manny, but you say we're free and the chains and the shackles, they're all these things are off of us, and they are. But I choose to be like this.
Yes.
Yeah. To be what, Brother Boy Scout? His prisoner.
Yeah.
I choose to be his prisoner. I choose it. Don't call me. Don't send me videos. Don't upset me because I like it this way. I'm a fool for Christ. 100%.
Yes, sir.
And I like it this way. What way, Brother Manuel? Shut in with God. In a secret place, the world has no idea.
Come on now.
I can tell by their face.
Amen.
But leave me alone. I like it this way. Oh, I love to be shut in with God.
Yes, sir.
Let's stand to our feet. Shut in with God in a secret place. There is Spirit beholding his face, giving you power to run in the race. I long to be shut in. Oh, just the sisters now, just the sisters. Worship him now. He's here. Person, now close your eyes and put your hand on somebody. put your hand on somebody tonight. Anybody have a need tonight? Is there any needs in this building tonight? Whatever your need is tonight, my hand is on you. You say, Brother Manny, your hand is on me. My hand is on you. And God's hand is on me. And it's Him that's touching you tonight. Every eye closed tonight. Reverence Him tonight. Pray for someone next to you. Oh, just pray for him. You don't know what they're going through. Maybe you don't know what they've done in their past. Maybe something's bothering them this very moment. And you that's being prayed for, maybe there's just a little germ of doubt in your mind right now. And I'm going to pray that the Lord take that away. Lord, if there's any doubt, just a little doubt, a little grain of doubt in their mind or in their heart tonight, Lord, I pray you remove that. Lord, your word says that with your stripes, they're already healed. Lord, and that healing is whatever their need is tonight. Maybe they're praying for their little baby tonight, Lord. Lord, bless that baby. Lord, maybe they lost a job, Lord God. Lord, give them a better job. Maybe they have nerve pain or back pain or heart pain or any kind of pain. Lord, maybe there's someone here that can't sleep at night. They have to sit up in a chair. Whenever they lay down, their back is hurting them. Lord, that person is me. Touch us tonight, Lord. Lord, bless these ministers' wives, Lord. Lord, they've prepared and they've done all they have for their husband to be here, Lord. And Lord, I pray you give them a double blessing tonight. And these ministers tonight, Lord. Lord, bless them, Father. Encourage their people, Lord God. I pray that they could bow their hearts, Lord God. Lord, that they'd listen to you, Father. Lord, that they'd preach this message with all their heart, Lord God. Father, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you for saving my family. Lord, thank you for my wife. Lord, thank you for my sisters and my brother, my dad, my mom. Lord, thank you for the friendships, Lord. Thank you for feeding us, Lord God, for the breath that we take, Lord God. Lord, we choose, Lord God, this freedom, Lord. Lord, your prophet was talking about being shut in with God. Oh, anything is possible. There's not one thing that's not possible right now when he's here. Oh, just ask him and thank him and praise him for whatever you need. Oh. You guys know that song? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. If our brothers could pull that up on there. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making. Thank you, Lord, for giving.
so rich and one more time. Let's just hear with no music, just the sisters sing it tonight. Let him hear your voice.
For saving my soul.
Oh, we thank you, Lord.